Hey, podcast listeners. Thanks for streaming today's podcast from Pathway to Victory. Pathway to Victory is a nonprofit ministry featuring the Bible teaching of Dr. Robert Jeffress. And right now, your generous gift will have twice the impact thanks to the Proclaim the Gospel Matching Challenge active right now through December 31st. To give a special year-end gift, go to ptv.org/podcast and click the Donate button or follow the link in our show notes. Now, here's today's podcast from Pathway to Victory.
This is Robert Jeffress. In response to the horrific attack on Israel, I've written a brand new book called Are We Living in the End Times? Go to ptv.org to order your copy.
We need to hold on to our faith in Jesus Christ, not just in the seasons of success, but also in the seasons of suffering. Because the fact is, Jesus Christ is the perfect Savior for all seasons in our lives.
Welcome to Pathway to Victory with author and pastor Dr. Robert Jeffress. Have you ever had a fair weather friend? You know, someone who enjoys having fun and socializing, but the moment you go through a rough spot in life, they suddenly disappear. Today on Pathway to Victory, Dr. Robert Jeffress warns against being a fair weather Christian and urges us to hold on to Jesus Christ in the midst of suffering. Now, here's our Bible teacher to introduce today's message. Dr. Jeffress?
Thanks, David, and welcome again to Pathway to Victory. I'm pleased you decided to join us. All of us are busily engaged in getting ready for Christmas, and even so, I can promise you that the next half hour will prove to be well spent because we're giving our complete attention to the incomparable Christ. But first, let me remind you that time is running short to request your copy of the 2024 Pathway to Victory Daily Devotional. This is a handsome and hefty leather-bound book with inspirational readings for every Monday through Friday in the new year. And it's my gift to you when you give a generous year-end gift to support the ministry of Pathway to Victory. In addition, we have an enormous matching fund that's active right now, and we're focused on reaching the goal of $500,000 before December 31st. Now, here's what that means to you. When you give a generous gift today, the amount you give will be automatically matched and therefore doubled in size because of the matching challenge. Whether it's $50, $100, $1,000, or $10,000, any amount you give between now and December 31st will have twice the impact. As a bonus to the daily devotional, I'll also include the helpful brochure I've written called Jesus, the Fulfillment of God's Prophecies. You'll be amazed as you survey the list of 37 predictions that preceded the life and ministry of Jesus generations before he arrived. So be ready to write down our contact information and get in touch with us today. Now let's get started with our study in Hebrews chapter 3 about the incomparable Christ. I titled my message, A Savior for All Seasons.
If you have your Bibles, turn to Hebrews chapter 3, beginning at verse 1, as we discover why Jesus truly is a Savior for all seasons of life. Chapter 3, verse 1, "Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession." There's some of you right now that are facing your own season of suffering in your life. This verse has a great command for you as well. I want us to look at the four parts of this command. First of all, notice who the audience is. He says, "Therefore, holy brethren." That's the audience to believers with a heavenly calling. Secondly, notice the connection. The connection. That word, therefore, is the connecting word. Therefore always points us back to what the writer has said in the first two chapters. Remember, this letter is about the superiority of Jesus Christ. And he says, therefore, in light of what I've said about Jesus, that he's the exact representation of God, that he is God's final word in human history, that he upholds all things by the power of his word, that he is superior to the Old Testament prophets. In light of all that I've said about Jesus, before you give up your faith, before you decide it's not what you need at the moment, I want you to do one thing. And here's the exhortation. Underline it. Two words. Consider Jesus. Consider Jesus. Now, this word consider is very important. The word literally means to think deeply about, to study closely. And what the writer here is saying is, before you give up your faith in Jesus Christ, consider who Jesus really is. He is God's emissary. Not only that, he is our high priest. That word priest is the word pontifex, literally bridge builder, mediator, the go-between. The Bible says the go-between, the mediator between God and man is not Father Smith down the street. And it's not Pastor Jeffers in this church. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5 says, there is one God and one mediator, one pontifex, one bridge builder between God and men, and it is the man, Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ is the only one who can span the gulf between God and man. Only he has offered the acceptable sacrifice to God. Only he can pave the way to a relationship with God. He is our high priest. The writer is saying, if you abandon Jesus in that season of suffering in your life, to whom else or to what else are you going to turn? Well, somebody in the Jewish audience yells out, I've got an idea. What about Moses? I mean, after all, it was Moses who went up onto the mountaintop and met with God. Moses was God's representative to the Israelites. Not only that, in a sense, he was a mediator between the Israelites and God. We'll see this in a couple of weeks. But when God was so angry with the Israelites, he was going to wipe them off the face of the earth. Remember, Moses was the go-between. He said, God, please don't do that. So it was natural for the people to say, well, we'll just substitute the worship of Moses for the worship of Jesus Christ. And so in these next verses, the writer shows how Jesus is superior to Moses. But very wisely, before he shows that, he talks about how Jesus and Moses were similar. Look at that in verse 2. For he was faithful, that is, Jesus was faithful to him, God, who appointed him, just as Moses also was in all of his house. Both Jesus and Moses were faithful. You know, God never asked you to be successful. He never asked you to be well-known or to be popular. But in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 2, it says there is one thing required of a steward, and that is that he be faithful. Ladies and gentlemen, there's only one thing you're going to be judged by at the judgment seat of Christ. God is going to ask you, were you faithful to do what he asked you to do? Faithfulness, that's what the word means. It means simply to do what God has asked you to do. I was thinking this week about how that applies to me and to those of us listening to this message. Four things to think about, four questions about your own faithfulness. What about your faithfulness in your marriage? Are you being faithful to keep your marriage vows? I don't mean just in the sexual sense, obviously there. But are you centering your attention and your affection on that one person God has placed in your life to meet his or her needs? Are you faithful in your marriage? Are you being faithful with your children? God has asked you to do one thing with your children, and that is to pass your faith on to them. Are you doing that? Have you led them to a saving knowledge of Christ? And if they are Christians, are you teaching them how to live now that they are a Christian, not just by what you say, not just by dragging them to church, which is important, but are you teaching them day in and day out by your own life example that obeying God is the priority in life? Are you being faithful with your children? How about faithfulness in your work? Are you just trying to get by at your job? Are you slacking off because you're tired of doing the same thing day in and day out? Have you figured out that really doesn't matter how much effort I get, I'm going to get paid the same and I'm not going to be thanked by my employer, so why give it all my effort? Have you come to the point that you realize, as Colossians 3 says, we ought to do our work enthusiastically as unto the Lord For it is the Lord God whom we serve. Are you doing your job every day as if God is your ultimate employer? What about your own faithfulness in your relationship with God? Even if reading the Bible and prayer seems dry to you and meaningless, do you keep doing it because you realize your relationship with God is the most important relationship in your life? Faithfulness. God requires of us that we are faithful. Moses was faithful. Jesus was faithful. But here are three ways that Jesus was superior to Moses. Look at this in verse 3. Moses was a member of God's house, but Jesus is the builder of God's house. Moses was a member of God's house, but Jesus is the builder of God's house. Verse 3, for he has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, by just so much as the builder of the house has more honor than the house. For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. If you've ever been to London, you know one of the most magnificent sights there is St. Paul's Cathedral, a great massive house of worship composed of thousands and thousands of stones. Let me ask you a question. Which would be superior? Which would be most important? One of those stones in that massive cathedral or Sir Christopher Wren, the architect who designed that cathedral and oversaw its construction? The builder is always superior to the individual stones that make up the house. Moses was great. He was a member of God's house, no doubt about it. But Jesus is the builder of that house. Number two, Moses was a shadow of things to come, but Jesus is the substance. Moses was a shadow of things to come, but Jesus is the substance. Look at verse 5. Now Moses was faithful in all of his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken later. Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible, but those first five books of the Bible were pointing people. They were like a neon sign pointing people to Jesus Christ. In fact, Jesus himself said in John 5:46, had you believed Moses, you would have believed in me. Remember when Jesus appeared after his resurrection to the two who were on the road to Emmaus? They didn't recognize him at first. They were talking about all that had happened that day with the crucifixion and now the resurrection of Christ. The Bible says Jesus began with Moses, showing them in the scriptures how all things were pointing to him. And thirdly, Moses is only a servant in God's house, but Jesus is the ruler over God's house. Look at verse 6 again. But Christ was faithful as a son over his house, whose house we are. In Exodus 35 through chapter 40, there are 22 references to the faithfulness of Moses, and yet he was still a servant, but Jesus was the son. To help you clarify this, let me ask you a question. If you had a choice, you could either be Bill Gates' gardener or Bill Gates' son, which would you choose? Most of us would choose to be the son or the daughter rather than the gardener. The children of Bill Gates are inheritors of his great wealth. The servant, the gardener, is still a servant. Jesus said in John 8:35, the servant does not remain in the house, but the son remains forever. Now, you say, well, that's great, Pastor. Jesus is superior to Moses. What in the world does that have to do with me? I'm not thinking about worshiping Moses. Well, here's the application. It's found in form of a condition in verse 6. Look at this. But Christ was faithful as a son over his house, whose house we are. Yes, Moses was just one stone in that massive house that God is building. What Peter calls a living temple unto the Lord. God is building a temple to himself, stone by stone, life by life. And Ephesians 2:19 says, if you are a Christian, you are part of God's house. And yes, Moses, like all of us, are subservient to Jesus. But what a marvelous thing it is to be a part of God's house. To be a part of what God is building that will last for all eternity. And he says, you're a member of this house of which Moses is a part, of which Christ is Lord over. You are a member of this house. if we hold fast our confidence and the boast of our hope firm until the end. Remember, he's writing to people who are thinking about giving up their Christian faith. They're teetering on the fence between belief and unbelief. He said, you are a part of God's house if you remain faithful and firm in your faith until the end. This upsets a lot of people. If you think this is upsetting, wait till we get to some of the verses in Hebrews chapter 6. Is he saying we can lose our salvation? No. Romans 11, 29 says the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. They can't be taken back. Well, is he saying we earn our position with God, our salvation, by persevering, holding on to the end? That's how we earn our faith? Not saying that either. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Then what is he saying? Listen to this. He's saying perseverance, holding fast to your faith until the end, is not the condition of your salvation, but it is the proof of your salvation. That's what he's saying. Holding on to faith in all seasons of life, not just in the good times, is the proof of your faith. Not the condition, but it is the proof. If you let go of your faith and decide, this Christianity stuff is not for me. If you go into some other belief system other than Christianity, turn your back on your faith in Christ and become a part of a cult or some other false religion, it's not that you lose your salvation. It's simply evidence that you were never saved to begin with. Because those who are really a part of God's household will persevere until the very end. Doesn't mean you won't stumble here and there. Doesn't mean you won't wake up like I do in the middle of the night and have a few doubts here and there. But it says in the end, you're not going to abandon your faith. You're going to persevere until the very end. Isn't that what John said in 1 John 2:19? They went out from us, but they were not really of us. For if they had been of us, they would have remained with us. Jesus himself said in John 8:31, if you abide in my word, then you are truly my disciples. Certainly the best reason for remaining faithful to Christ in seasons of suffering is because it authenticates the reality, the authenticity of your faith. But here's another practical reason for holding on to your faith in Christ during those seasons of sufferings. If you let go of Jesus, what are you going to grab hold of that's going to see you through that storm? To what or to whom are you going to turn if you turn away from Jesus? This week, I listened to an old cassette tape. It's barely running anymore. It's back from 1982. I pulled it out, this old cassette tape. It had a testimony of a man who's now in heaven, the late Joe Bailey. Joe Bailey was president of David C. Cook Publishing. He was instrumental in the formation of the Christian Medical Society. Great speaker. But Joe Bailey and his wife watched three of their seven children die horrible, painful deaths. And in the testimony on this tape, he was talking about sitting beside his four-year-old son who was dying with leukemia. He said his little boy loved Jesus with all of his heart. And so Joe began to explain to his son all the joys of heaven that he was about to experience. And the little boy said, Daddy, are you going to go with me? Are you going to go with me? And Joe said, no, son, I can't go with you now, but I'll be there soon. The little boy said, if you're not going, I don't want to go. And he began to cry. Joe said, I wish I could say that my son died a peaceful death, full of assurance. But instead, I watched him die a violent death without the peace that I wanted him to have. Joe and his wife watched two of their other children die a similar kind of death. Joe said people ask him all the time, how in the world could you remain a Christian after experiencing that? How can you reconcile your faith with a God who would allow something like that to happen to three of your children? And this is what Joe said. I wrote it down. He said, we can go one of two directions when we can't reconcile our loss with our faith in God. Either we give up that faith in God, or we realize he's in control and working out a plan, even though in the darkness we can't see what that plan is. Faith means something when it's exercised in the darkness. Faith means something when it's exercised in the darkness. There are some of you right now who are in a dark tunnel. You can't see 2 inches in front of you. You don't know what's going to happen. You can't see God. You wonder if he's even there. What are you supposed to do? The writer says, consider Jesus. Think about Jesus. Remember who Jesus is. If you're overwhelmed by guilt, look back at the cross where Jesus was and consider, think about what he did on that cross for you, how he was the only reliable payment for your sins. If right now you are drowning in heartache and sorrow and disappointment, look up to Jesus, our high priest, who was tempted in all points as we are and yet without sin, who says, come boldly before the throne of grace that you might receive mercy and find my help in the time of need. If you feel pressed and bombarded with so many problems, you're not sure how you're going to make it through the next month or even the next week, look ahead to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who ran with endurance the race God set before him, and he completed it victoriously. And he looks back to us and he says, yes, in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. And so shall you. So shall you. That is why Jesus Christ is truly a Savior for all seasons of life.
This is the one we celebrate every day on Pathway to Victory. Jesus is the Savior for all seasons, and the one we promote through radio, television, the internet, and every technology at our disposal, because nothing is more important than elevating the one who has overcome the world. Keep in mind that on December 31st, we'll be closing the books on another ministry year. And it's important to remind you that Pathway to Victory is the recipient of an enormous matching challenge gift of $500,000. This means that your gift today will be automatically matched and doubled, having twice the impact. But the deadline is Sunday, December 31st at midnight. And so I'm boldly inviting you to take advantage of this incredible opportunity to create a ministry arsenal of $1 million to deploy in the coming new year. This is critically important because there's never been a time in American history where moral clarity and biblical truth are more needed than right now, and especially as we enter into the uncertainties of the coming year. Please don't let this window of opportunity close without taking advantage of the matching challenge. Plus, I'll be saying thanks for your generous gift by providing the all-new 2024 Pathway to Victory Daily Devotional. Keep this leather-bound volume on your nightstand or in the kitchen or near your favorite chair. It'll become your daily companion as you walk with God in the new year. The 2024 Daily Devotional guides you through an intentional series of four important topics through all four seasons of the year. I want you to grow in your faith, and by sending you the Daily Devotional, you'll have a tool for walking together with me through every season of the new year. David?
Thanks, Dr. Jeffress. Today, when you give a generous year-end gift to support the ministry of Pathway to Victory, We'll say thanks by sending you the brand new Pathway to Victory Daily Devotional for 2024. Call 866-999-2965 or visit ptv.org. Now, when your gift is $100 or more, we'll also send you both the CD and DVD sets for our current series called The Incomparable Christ. Plus, you'll receive a brand new music CD called Celebrate the Savior, Volume 2, with outstanding music from the First Baptist Dallas Choir and Orchestra, like the Christmas favorite you're listening to right now. Your donation to Pathway to Victory today will have twice the impact because of the Proclaim the Gospel Matching Challenge. So contact us right away with your special year-end gift. You can give by calling 866-999-2965 or go to our website, that's at ptv.org. If you'd like to send your donation by mail, write to P.O. Box 223-609, Dallas, Texas, 75222. That's P.O. Box 223-609, Dallas, Texas, 75222. I'm David J. Mullins. Join us again next time when Dr. Jeffress poses this troubling question, what if there were no Christmas? That's Wednesday here on Pathway to Victory. Pathway to Victory with Dr. Robert Jeffress comes from the pulpit of the First Baptist Church of Dallas, Texas. You've made it to the end of today's podcast from Pathway to Victory. We're so glad you're here. Pathway to Victory relies on the generosity of loyal listeners like you to make this podcast possible. And right now, your special year-end gift will be matched and therefore doubled in impact thanks to the Proclaim the Gospel Matching Challenge. Take advantage of this opportunity to double your impact before the deadline on December 31st. To give toward the matching challenge, go to ptv.org/podcast and click on the Donate button, or follow the link in our show notes. We hope you've been blessed by today's podcast from Pathway to Victory.